I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Asking No Wall, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitutes.
So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, listeners. And, no matter what time of day you're listening to this, welcome again to another Acton Millwall Lionesses. Normally, this would be the part where Ryan Loftus would do his big, long introductions and I'd come in with something chirpy and funny to back him up. But Ryan is not here and I am neither chirpy nor funny. So you're stuck with me, Michael Avery. And for this episode, we're going to do something slightly different. So we've got four great guests on today, but we'll talk on football a bit, but also a subject that's very, very serious at the moment with all what's going on during these unprecedented, as they call it, times. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Millwall Lionesses' first team manager, Katie Whitmore.
Thank you.
Welcome, Katie. I'd like to introduce the assistant manager and player liaison officer, as well as a member of the media team and chap who also helps disinfect cones and everything else that needs doing at the Lionesses, Mr. Alex Russell.
Evening all.
Evening, good afternoon. We will now next go to the club captain, Libby Stubbs. How are we, Libby?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Very chirpy, very happy. And finally, the one and only Kelly Webster.
Hello, hope everyone's all right.
And more importantly, let's hope everyone had a lovely Christmas, considering the restrictions that was on us all. So just to repeat what was just said for the listeners, this is going to be an episode that's not really ultimately about football or performances on the pitch or what's happening off of them, that kind of thing, when it comes to the season itself, but more how mental health is at the moment and how things like football can help and how we're all coping, because the club recently put out some fantastic links to some charities, which we will talk about shortly. But also it's just to give some of the players here and the staff a chance to sort of share their stories, to let you know, obviously, that if there's any listeners out there, you know, you're not alone if you are dealing with any issues at the moment. And hopefully you can relate to one or two of these stories that you'll hear. So, Katie, it was really your idea, first of all, wasn't it? What made you think it'd be a good idea to get this show on?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a topic that continuously needs to be spoken about, I think, personally, in the sense of making sure that everyone knows that it's okay to not be okay, and football can help you in many ways, whether or not you're a player, you know, a staff member within a football environment, or you're a fan and just wanting to be part of that community. So for me, I think it was always just about making sure that it's a topic that we speak about and show the support that we give as a club, within the men's side, as well as with the Lionesses and within the community trust as well. So it's just making sure, you know, we've got players within our squad that have had their own experiences in regards to their mental health and mental well-being. And I think it's a good platform for them, if they want to share their story and their journey, to be able to speak out. Because if someone's listening to this that can relate or is going through a similar situation, you know, we may be able to offer that support that they need right now, especially with everything that's going on with COVID-19 and the lockdowns that are being put in place.
And what was really nice as well, Katie, was this was actually, as much as, you know, we all thought it was a great idea to have this show and have this discussion, which we're having now, it was like, you know, your idea. It was very a proactive approach by you. You know, you wasn't approached by the show, or you wasn't approached by a certain organisation. It was something you felt that you wanted to do. So what I'll do is just now quickly, I'll go through like for each of you, because you've all got a story to tell. Kelly, we'll start with you. You've obviously, you know, you've come from a sort of Millwall background from South London. You know, you've come up as a fan, becoming a player for the Lionesses and now an ambassador for the MCT. Do you want to touch on your journey slightly? Because it's not been as straightforward as many people might think it would be, would it?
No, it hasn't been, as most like people would say. It's not been straightforward or anything like that. Been through some tough times, and I'm not ashamed or embarrassed to say that I was at my lowest point. When I was late teens, I'd sort of say, sort of that round that sort of time, I went through a lot of things and basically ended up homeless and had a couple of black bags to my name, I would say. And then I ended up getting into a hostel. Things didn't really get better from being in that hostel, in that environment. Things just got to me, and I basically went and I tried to take my own life, and I was at the lowest point that I could ever be. I didn't have any family, any friends around me at the time. I had no one, basically, in a place that I didn't know, and I just didn't see another way out. And for me, yeah, it was a really, really hard time. But I look back now and I think to myself, that's made me the person that I am today, because I wake up every day and I want to live life. I want to be around. I want to do everything I possibly can do to help others and stuff like that. I mean, when I obviously was going through all of that, I had a lot of help. I had, I remember this one woman who was South London mental health team, who was like my key worker, and she got me into things of like going away with groups and doing some rock climbing and stuff like that. And loved that completely. And then as things progressed from there, I've been obviously working now for the same place for 14 years at Royal Mail. So I got myself into a good job, got my flat, and slowly things started working its way back. From there, I've done a bit of voluntary work, and I really do think voluntary work helps you feel like you're giving back to the community, and it makes you feel better inside. So yeah, it's been a long journey, but well worth it. And I look at myself now and I can even say I'm proud of myself from where I've come from to where I am now. So I don't think anyone should ever feel embarrassed or ashamed to say they're not feeling right and to reach out to people that could help.
And that's a really brave story there, Kelly, you know, being able to come out and talk like this in this situation. And, you know, thank you for sharing that, obviously. We'll just touch on there with you, Libby, because one of the things that actually was one of the reasons why you was invited on behalf of the squad was you put a Twitter post out recently, just before Christmas, where you had a picture of yourself where you wasn't at your peak, if you will. You didn't feel particularly like you was in the right frame of mind, to put it that way. But then you put another picture up yourself of, you know, how you've grown and how you've got more confident, and, you know, you're in this great role as a Millwall captain. And this isn't all about like Millwall being fantastic and stuff like that, but it's just more about, you know, how you've developed. What's your story, and tell us where you are now?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, I just want to start off by saying, Kels, I'm so proud of you for sharing that story and where you are at now, because it truly does inspire me. But yeah, so with me, myself, obviously a few weeks, I think it was last week now, I put out a tweet about a photo that I found whilst I was going through one of my old phones, and it kind of shocked me, really, because in it I can just see that how down I was, and I'm kind of one of them people that I didn't really realise what it was that I was going through. And to me at that point in time, I thought that that's just how things were, and it was just normal to be sad all the time, but obviously it's not. And I think that's one of the main things that I've taken from it. And like sometimes you do have things in your life that go horribly wrong, and you then feel down about everything from there, and it just spirals. But for me, it was nothing to do with that. Like I've got great family, I've got great friends, and it's just one of them things where you can't help how you're feeling, and you just get put yourself in such a bad place, and it's hard for you to get out of. And then it's not until you're out of it that you see really how bad it actually was. So yeah, that's what it was for me. I just felt I was surrounded by so many people, but I just felt lonely all the time, and it just got to me, and I was just always sad. And to see where I've come now in the space of 4 or 5 years, it's amazing. I've completely changed how I am in life, and just look at everything a whole lot differently to what I did then. Mm. And obviously now I see that it's not right to feel sad every day. Like that's just not right in a person. And I'm just thankful for the support that I always have and have around me now. And for me as a person, I find it hard to talk to people about things and open up about things, and I like to try and deal with things by myself. But I think the biggest thing that I've taken from that is that you can't do that sometimes. Sometimes you need to talk to someone, and I think that's the bravest thing that sometimes you can do, is to realise that you're not okay and find someone to talk to.
Yeah, and the thing is there as well, Libby, is that you made a good point. You know, you said you've got all these people around you and you still feel lonely and that kind of thing. And without putting words in your mouth, you know, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but you probably, a lot of people, should I say, they feel like they're the only ones going through it. You know, like there's 7 billion plus people in the world, but you feel how you're feeling at that moment in time is specific to you. No one else can feel how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And this is where you're right, where you're saying, you know, it's so important to talk to people and actually, you know, tell people how you're feeling, because you might be not even be in a room full of people, but you just might be sat with one person and they go, do you know what? I feel exactly the same way. Did you feel like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think obviously when you're going through it, you do, you're right. You think that there's no one else in the world that feels like this, and you don't know how you'll ever be happy again, I guess. And I definitely think that when you finally do open up to someone and you speak to people, you realise that in fact we're not at all the only people that go through it. Everyone at some point in their life has gone through some sort of hardship or felt some type of way at some point in their life. And I think that that's the main thing, is obviously opening up and speaking to people and realizing that you're never alone when you're going through something. So yeah, I think that's very important.
No, exactly. Well said, Libby. And Katie, we'll just move on to you now, because obviously your role with the Mill Lionesses is, you know, your first team manager, but you also help with the under 16s and some of the other younger systems, but you're also the safeguarding officer for the Mill Community Trust, the Mill FC itself. And with that comes an awful, awful lot of pressure, because we had a rehearsal talk of this before a few days ago. But we said, Katie, didn't we, that we said that, you know, it's difficult for you because you as part of your role, what you do, you need to identify these traits, you need to look for these things. So, you know, what's your story, and how do you deal with that on a daily basis, you know, being in this position where you need to be not be the specific one who has to go out and look for it, but you have to be aware that people might be going through this?
Yeah, I think, you know, in regards to, I'm a bit I'll start a bit like Libby, in the sense of, you know, the fact that the two girls have come on to this podcast tonight and shared their stories, you know, that's brave within itself, you know, to not a lot of people who have maybe experienced those emotions want to necessarily be reminded or go back to that point. So, you know, hats off to these two for being role models and stepping up and telling their story for those that need to hear it, really. But I think within my role as safeguarding officer, you know, a lot of people think it's just, you know, you're dealing with poor practice or safeguarding concerns, but you're actually also there as a support for people that are going through a situation within their life that could potentially cause a mental health or any kind of issue that they may have. You know, and you've got to make sure, like I said, I said it in the rehearsal chat that we had about it, in the sense of, as a manager, sometimes it can be quite lonely. You know, you've got your own stuff going on, but you've also got, you know, 24 players that you're having to also kind of worry about or make sure they're okay and know that, you know, your door's always open for them and all the rest of it. I'm quite lucky in the sense of, I know that I've got a fantastic committee behind me and staff behind me and players that are very approachable as well. And the same for working with the club. I know without any doubt that although safeguarding, you know, you have to keep everything kind of, you share information to those who need to have that information. And sometimes it can be quite hard being in those situations, supporting people that need that support. But I know that I've got help and guidance from staff around me to make sure that I'm then okay as well. So I'm quite lucky in that sense. But I think it is quite hard. Obviously, you've got to make sure that you are approachable, that people do know that your door is always open for them to have a chat, no matter what the time is. Because a lot of people also will be a bit conscious of, I can't ring, it's too late in the evening, or it's too early. That all of that is irrelevant. If you need to pick up the phone and have a conversation with someone because you are feeling that low, or a situation's got on top of you, or whatever it may be, that phone is always open for you to ring, no matter what time it is, no matter what day it is. So I think those are the key messages as well. You know, although we're saying it's okay not to be okay, it's also that there is that support there for you, and it's 24 hours. You know, if you rang someone up and you needed help, they're not going to say, oh, it's a bit late in the evening. They're going to sit there and they're going to listen and they're going to try and help and support you the best that they can.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well said. And Alex, well, just before we touch on to another subject about like football and that kind of thing as well, but how is this, how is it for you? Do you want to share your story? How, you know, this has been since you've come into your new role as assistant manager, because, you know, you've come into this huge role as an assistant manager of one of like, you know, a very big name in the women's game. There's not sugarcoat it. And, you know, you've got all this pressure. And, you know, the working with Katie and working with the squad and keeping everything together when we've got issues with lockdowns and, you know, COVID secure environments, that kind of thing. How's it all been for you, mate?
Yeah, I mean, similarly to like Katie and Libby have said, going on record by sort of not congratulating, but sort of saying, you know, I appreciate the previous girls were coming on and sharing their stories. But yes, it's not, I'm not going to pretend it's been easy. It's not, both practically and mentally. So the practical side of things, you know, trying to, you know, get the girls to gel together, because we had an awfully, you know, busy summer in signing a fair few players and trying to implement new sort of tactics and shape and things like that. It's difficult when you stop starting. You don't know if your game's even going to be going ahead at the weekend, etc. So it is difficult. But then also, sort of like you say, the mental side of it, which is the whole sort of topic of this discussion, but just being someone that's busy Monday to Sunday and sort of keeping yourself busy so that you don't have to sort of dwell on everything that is going on, so then having that taken away from you sort of in a snap of the fingers is a bit, yeah, it's a bit surreal, to be honest. It's difficult, but, you know, it's something that we've all got to, unfortunately, learn to sort of get on with, really.
Yeah, because there's some people, Alex, you sat there, you like to keep busy. There's some people that, you know, relies the wrong word, but, you know, they need the routine. They need the daily life. They need, you know, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to make sure this is done. I need to make sure that's done. And to then suddenly have this all taken away because of COVID or because of the situation we have at the moment with the pandemic. It's tough, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you think, you look at, I can't think of a job in the world that doesn't function off of sort of discipline and sort of like routine. You know, you think like the army or the police or a teacher, or a care worker, there's always got to be sort of structure and routine to your life. It's just natural as human beings to need that. But to then also like not know, like I say, what's going on between one week and the next and things like that. It's something that in recent years, I can't think when anyone's had to really deal with it. So there's not a sort of rule book or a guidebook of this is how you should react to what's going on. Do you know what I mean? So we're sort of just taking it each day at a time, and it's difficult, but you know, we're slowly getting there and adapting and picking up new ways of, you know, things like Zoom, for example. This time a year ago, it's not something that we would have really ventured in, and having sessions done over that, like fitness wise, but even socially. So yes, yeah, it's hard, but like I say, it's something we're getting used to.
I know, and everyone's taking it so well in their stride. You know, I think how we've all adapted, not us as in.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Individuals, I'm talking us as the general sort of public, if you will, that, you know, the way we've adapted to these things, everyone now knows how to Zoom when a year ago, you know, not many people even knew what Zoom was, you know. I think everyone's done really, really well. I want to touch on now about, let's get a bit more on the positive side of things. And a lot of people say, we'll talk about football now, you know, it's not just, you know, physical activity with endorphins or anything like that, even though it does help. Kelly, you've got a fantastic story. We'll go back to you about how football and to a point, without name dropping too much, but how Millwall really helped with you with your development, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I say, like, when I was going through all that kind of stuff, I started to go to Millwall games and just kept going, and slowly as you keep going, you keep seeing the same faces, and started to sort of get to know quite a lot of people. And they became like my family at the time. Literally, I would say there's a lot of people, and I say they know they are, that were there for me through my tough times, and going along, spending the day, just forgetting about things and just having a laugh with people at Millwall. I couldn't thank those people enough for the way they are, and we're still friends now. And I think Millwall has a great community with the work that they do outside of all of that and everything else, but also just when you go there. And I think, like everyone else, we're all missing being there, and hopefully it's not going to be too long before we're back.
Well, luckily, Kelly, you actually had an opportunity a while ago to get back in the crowd, weren't you? Or not in the crowd, in the game, where through the work you've been doing with the community and everything like that, you was asked to be a sort of ball person, weren't you? Which was what was that like, being back in the ground after, you know, so many months of being away?
Ah, it was amazing. I'm a season ticket holder anyway, and I ended up in Group B, so I've missed the first two games. And obviously then we went into another lockdown, and we basically couldn't go to the game. And then we done the Santa Dash, and we got asked to be in, and it was just really good to be in there. So I said to feel the energy and everything else that's on that pitch and be so close. It was just absolutely amazing that day to be back.
Excellent. And Libby, I know we've discussed this when you've been on before, but unfortunately, I'm gonna sort of say it out loud now. But you're not a Millwall fan, are you?
No, I'm not.
So, but you've actually come into the Clea Sheffield and Millwall family. So, what has it felt for you, sort of being taken and embraced by Millwall as a club? Because the way you play for the team, the way you talk about it, the commitment you put in, everything like that, you wouldn't know you wasn't a born and bred Millwall supporter. How has this club helped you mentally?
I think the main thing about this club that I love so much is that family feel. And I know we say it all the time and it sounds so cliche or whatever, but Millwall genuinely does have that family feel and everyone just looks out for each other. And even like with the girls, with the staff, even with the MCT, I think it's just helped massively. And for me as well, being able to help other people out is something that I really enjoy. So being part of the MCT programs and helping out at Christmas, and also with the girls academy, having young girls that I can help out if they're struggling in themselves, because that's one thing that I've always had, is just struggling with my confidence due to things that have happened previously at other clubs. So I think it's definitely a great part of being Millwall, is that I can help these younger players out as well with their development and just their thinking, just as players as well. So, yeah, and just having, like I said, the backing of the staff and everyone in the club, it's just great, because, like I said, I've had problems previously with people not believing that I'm good enough to be where I am. And to have that now and have people behind me that are cheering me on and giving me this amazing opportunity to be club captain, I just can't really thank the club enough, and obviously all the staff and Kate and Alex enough really for it. And it just helps me so much. Like, that's my release, my football, from everyday life, and as it is for probably the whole team. So to have a club that does have this feel and just the backing, yeah, it's great.
No, exactly. And that's so well put as well, you know, to show that you've got, or even to say that you've got that support. And again, not just from the club itself, but I mean the support from the fans as well. When they came to our games, you know, they weren't just coming because they were seeing it as, you know, I just want to watch live football. It's, you know, you're our team, you're our squad, you're one of us now. We will support you. And mentally that's great for you, knowing that, you know, we've got all these people who are coming to watch you. Katie, you know, you knew of the Lionesses, you played for the Lionesses, you know, you've come through the development systems. How did it feel for you, you know, after the lockdowns? Did we know when the season would start? You know, it being very stop-start at the moment, we don't know when the season's going to start again in the new year. But on the positives, how did it feel for you as a Millwall manager, Millwall fan, with all those fans? Because we know there's a bit of a sort of a target on our backs when it comes to the size of the squad and teams wanting to play against us. But mentally, to have that job, it must feel great at times like this, mustn't it?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, I struggled quite a lot in the last lockdown and was in a really dark place. And then to get that phone call to be offered, obviously, the position that I'm in now, and being able to be around the people that I'm around, helped me quite a lot. And it kind of came at the right time, to be honest. Yes, it's been tough in the sense of a stop-start season. It's not always ideal for a new management to come in. You know, when you think about how, like what Alex said previously, you're talking about how do we socialise 24 women off the pitch as well as on the pitch. And, you know, we've not been able to do that much this season, obviously, because of COVID-19. So there's always been those obstacles there. But I think being able to have a season like this has also brought the squad together in a different way than what they'd ever be together previously. You know, we're having to adapt. We're having to do Zoom calls twice a week when we would have been training. You know, some some Zoom calls we're doing a quiz and how well do you know your teammate and having a laugh and getting to know each other more that way. And then one Zoom call will be based around fitness. So the girls are still getting that fitness in, and the girls have adapted to it. And so as a manager, for me, you know, not only can I be proud of what they do when they're on that pitch, when the season does start again, but also it just shows how much hard work they're willing to put in. You know, when you're in a lockdown, a lot of people will just lose motivation or want to be focusing on other areas of what they've got going on in their busy life and busy schedules. But for me, it just shows that, you know, they are a determined team. They do want to do well when the season starts back, and it just makes it a little bit easier. Well, it makes it harder for me and Alex in the sense of you've got a squad of 24 and you can only take 16, but it also makes it that little bit easier for us in the sense of we know that we've got hard-working players that really do want to make sure that they've got the same vision as management and make sure that they can try and get that promotion when the season's up and running.
Oh, exactly. And Alex, we'll just sort of follow on from there as well. You know, you're a member of the Lionesses management team, but you're also a member of the supporters club. But you've also been really helping out with some of the voluntary aspects as well. How has those things, you know, the Santa Dash, and recently when we went to Lewisham Hospital with all the presents on Christmas Eve, you know, how has that made you feel, like having that, you know, sense of purpose that you're really in helping people out? Because as Katie said, as Kelly said with the volunteering side of it as well, volunteering is a real good thing to help with mental strength to improve it, to get it better. So how has that made you feel, knowing that you can still participate on behalf of the Lionesses and the Millwall fans?
I mean, it's an unreal feeling. Like I said earlier, I'm personally am like to be busy, and I'm busy Monday to Sunday. So like I say, to stop or to like have everything stop all of a sudden, to have opportunities with the Lionesses, with the MCT, with the MSC to go out and sort of, like you say, find that purpose again, it's a great feeling. I think, you know, everyone would agree in the sense of, you know, the last 9 months since sort of the first lockdown in March, it's been a year of learning, whether that's learning, you know, who wants to work hard, who doesn't want to work hard, whether that's learning, you know, who your friends are checking in on you and things like that, but also learning just little things you take for granted. You know, like we drop food off to the food bank. That now it might have only cost however much it costs per person, which you might sort of throw away in buying yourself a meal deal on your way home from work. But when you realise how sort of far that stretches and how rewarding that is to the people you're handing it over to, I think that trumps any feeling probably in the world, really, to sort of know that something you're doing is going that long of a way. But to have a sort of direct involvement with it as opposed to an indirect involvement as such, it makes it that little bit more special, to be honest.
No, exactly. And we'll start sort of wrapping it up now, because I think some of your points have been excellent that you've made tonight. But, you know, we've got, unfortunately, we're in tier four at the moment, as we say. It's tough times at the moment, but Kate, we'll start with you. What sort of message can you give to the fans and all those out there who may be struggling at the moment, who feel that, you know, at this moment, because of the weather as well, you know, you can't get out and do the things that we were able to do in the first lockdown. What message have you got for those who are listening in?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, a key message for the fans and supporters that we have is that if you are feeling alone, just, you know, you're not on your own. Okay, yeah, physically you may live on your own and you may feel that way, but you're not. You know, there's loads of numbers for you to contact, which I'm sure, Michael, you're going to run off at the end, but, you know, there's always someone there for you to contact, to listen to. Like I said previously, there's no time limit on that. You know, it's 24 hours every day. At whatever point you feel like you just need to talk and you've reached the end of, you know, bottling it up, just pick up the phone and have a conversation and talk, and someone will always listen. And, you know, once tier four is over and we are able to have spectators back, then I know definitely myself, Alex, and the rest of the squad and the team will be looking forward to welcoming you through St Paul's doors, and we can obviously put on a great performance for all of you.
Well, very well put. And Libby, is there anything else you'd like to add? What you're going to be doing in this lockdown that, you know, is going to keep you motivated, that you think you can share with other people to see if it can help them?
Yeah, I think basically just to reiterate what Katie said, in the fact that there's always someone to talk to, and there is always people that care about you, and it just takes you reaching out to someone, like I said earlier, and opening up for you to realise that you're not alone ever. I think it's good, although it's cold and wet and horrible, I think it's good sometimes to just get out the house for maybe like a 10-minute walk or something every day, and it really does help clear your mind, and just to make you feel a little bit more productive, I guess. Just a little 10-minute walk sometimes, that's what I like to do.
Yes.
So it's just nice. Again, like what Katie said, when we can come back, I'm looking forward to welcoming the fans back and putting on a great performance.
No, that's lovely. We're very well put. And Kelly, just before I sort of read the contact details for the different organisations that the club has put out, is how does it feel for you as a Millwall fan, knowing that your club is putting so much, you know, effort into helping people during this time? Because not every club is doing this at the moment, where they're actively telling you to reach out or to contact them, are they?
No, they're not. And I'm immensely proud of the club like that I play for and support of what they're doing with putting these numbers on. So many years ago, there was not very much about maybe just the Samaritans or whatever. And now there is something like for that person, what they're going through, for each person. There's so many different things out there to help. And I think, like Libby will say the same, like if you're feeling that bad, you could always message one of us on Twitter or something like that. And if we can help, we help, because we don't want to see anyone going through what we've had to go through. If we can help, do you know what I mean? And like Libby and the gaffer says, I'm really looking forward to having the fans back when we can.
And I think that's also a message shared by everyone, you know, not just the guys on the call, but the entire squad. They love playing for the fans. We love having them there, you know, the interaction. Harry Warren, who does Lionesses TV, and Ryan, they put it so perfectly when they say, you know, they've only been to a few games, but, you know, they've only really started coming to the women's game this season. They already feel that family feel to it. You know, Harry always says about seeing the same people and getting that family sort of comfort that you get when you go to these games. So we do implore, not just for attendances, but we implore for anyone who wants to be part of this family. You know, that's one of the huge draws of the women's game. But what I'll do now is I'll just end it with going back to a page that Mill will put up on Christmas Eve. It says no one should suffer this Christmas, but obviously we're in the Christmas period now, going into the new year, and you know, we don't know what's going to happen in January, February. Just to highlight some of the contact details here, so we've got the Anxiety UK, we've got Refuge for Women and Children Against Domestic Violence, Mind, which is a wonderful charity, the Samaritans, who do excellent work, Calm, Bipolar UK, Shout. There's eating disorders as well. So there's so many charities. That's just to name a small few. And every single one of those details is on the Millwall homepage. So do, if you feel like you're struggling or you feel like you need to talk to someone, as we've said all through this show, it's so important that you talk to someone. You'll not be judged. People won't think any less of you. People won't think anything strange about you, because you are going through what everyone else has gone through at least once in their life. Believe us when we tell you that you are not alone during this time. You may feel like you physically are alone, but as we've all said today, you are not alone. You can reach out to Mill Football Club. You can reach out to Mill Lionesses. You can reach out to the Community Trust, and we will help you. But just to finish on a positive, Kelly, you are our debutante, as they say, on the show. So we will let you do the bye for now, if you so please.
Bye for now.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.